Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. We are here again. We hath arrived.
Why do you sound so unsure of the fact that we're here? Well, we're here again,
like,
actually.
For some reason, I feel like I haven't hosted in 5 years. I don't know why. I completely forgot what I usually say when I'm like the one driving the conversation at the beginning of an episode.
I feel like I always awkwardly start with, how are you doing? And then you immediately go, well...
You put a spotlight on me every time.
I do.
So, Caitlin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. My stomach doesn't hurt at all.
We're always fine. No, we're always fine. Completely fine. But okay, I know that you have watched a good amount of movies in the last week, so I'm sure you have a lot to share, and I would love to hear it.
I would love to share. I was, you know, just doing my due diligence, finding my podcast movies. And this was one of the weeks where it took three movies to find what I'm doing next. So the two failed watches were, let's start with Hell of a Summer. This is one we talked a lot about since it came out. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, we got to try and do that at some point. Or not since it came out. That was 2023. Goddamn.
What? It came out in 2023?
That's what it says here.
I thought it came out last year.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe it was a festival. Maybe we're getting tricked by the festival theatrical dates again.
It could be. Personally, did not enjoy that movie one bit.
Yeah.
It was just not for me. It was much more of a comedy with some horror elements. And it was one of those movies where like all the kills happen off screen.
So, that's so weird. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie like that. What is that?
It's weird that it has an R rating too, which is kind of crazy. But it just wasn't for me.
Is it really crude humor?
No.
Maybe a little bit. A certain swear, were they swearing up a storm?
A little. Maybe it must have been something to do with that more. Like otherwise I would think it was a PG-13 movie. But it was whatever.
Interesting. I was hoping that would work just because it's such a fun title and also, we're getting into summer episodes, so I'm like trying to keep a summer vibe in mind when I pick movies. I don't need to box myself in too much, but it'd be cool to find like some summer titles during summer for summer episodes.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate. I'm curious. I still want to give it a watch and see if this is something that I would also dislike.
Right.
But I would say that I am more into horror comedy than you are, but I really feel like you're getting at a point where we're probably pretty even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely been able to appreciate the comedy elements in horror a lot more lately. I don't know. This one was just boring to me. I was just bored.
Yeah.
After that, I watched another movie that I was not super confident was going to be good, and it didn't turn out. Like, it was a good movie. It didn't turn out good for the podcast. It was a movie called Hollow Road, which was, I think you would like. It's not, like, a great, great movie or anything, but it's very much one of those, like, very isolated, like, almost the whole movie takes place in a car.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's really fun. It's just, like, tense, weird, what's going on, a lot of just kind of drama between the people. It was also really short. It's like an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
But I recommend that movie. I think it was really fun. It was a 2025.
Okay, cool. Film.
From there, I did find my movie, so I won't tell you about that one. But two other movies real quick that I watched. Oh my God, I watched The Village for the first time. And I loved
it. Do I need to react to it? Is it like actually that kind of movie, or do I shut myself in a room by myself?
You could go either way. I think. Okay. I wish I had recorded a reaction. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, of course, because of how much you loved it.
Yeah.
It's so special when literally you get one of your favorite movies of all time on camera.
Right. Yeah. And this was not that case. I was just like blown away by it because it was just, it went through different phases of me. Like initially starting out, truthfully, I was actually doing pixel art and Tamagotchi while I was watching at first.
Yes.
And I was kind of like in and out, a little bored. And then like little things kept happening. I was like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. I'm just becoming less and less interested in my pixel art until I had to put it down and like be locked in. And it was like,
yes.
It was just so good. And it's a movie that's very controversial in terms of whether people love it or hate it. And I think it was hated a lot when it came out. And it's become a little more appreciated these days. Mm-hmm. But wow, that's my mind so interesting. Was blown.
I've had blown. A movie like that as well. I remember when I watched Thelma and Louise, which is now like my number four favorite movie of all time.
Right.
It started off with me like, was it pixel? Who knows what it was? I was doing some little hobby, like keep my mind busy activity. I think at one point I was also straightening my hair because I was like, I need to get my hair done. And I'm like watching. And then all of a sudden I'm just singular tears down my eyes at the end, locked in. Like that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. So yes, I like when they sneak up on you. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah, that was just so unexpected. And unfortunately, I hate to admit it, but the reason I was watching that movie to begin with was to prepare for Scary Movie 4.
Yes.
Which I did watch yesterday.
Okay. So
listen,
I think I'm still going to not watch. I don't think I've ever seen it, this one.
Okay, I didn't hate it at all. Okay. I really didn't. I mean, some of it, it's Scary Movie. It's like obviously I don't love all of it at all, but it was not like I was expecting it to be terrible because people never talk about 4 and 5. Like those ones.
Five is the one I'm curious to get, because I watched five because I was like, oh my gosh, Ashley Tisdale. And then I was like, oh wow, that was really bad. So I'm excited for you to get to five. But four, I'm like, I don't know what even happens there. But that's good that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it was so underhyped for you that you just had a fine time with it.
Yeah. No, I really did enjoy it. Yeah. And it was fine. I think I definitely liked it better than two. I just like don't really care for two.
No, like me either. It's just too like crude and sexual for me. Time. Yeah. But maybe also you liked four because of how much you liked The Village.
I think, yeah, maybe that's part of it. I like because it's The Grudge, it's Saw, it's The Village, and it's War of the Worlds, which are all movies that I appreciate. So it's like really fun to get those references.
Yeah.
I will say, if you're going to watch The Village, do that before you watch Scary Movie 4.
Okay,
It does very much tell you exactly what happens in that movie. So be warned.
I have something really random to say before I talk about the one horror-esque thing that I watched this week.
Sure.
Well, it's not that random. Okay, so I have a girly pop whose name is Casey, and she does my skin appointments. I go to her for like facials and all my skin things like once a month. And she's literally like genuinely, I would consider her a friend. Like I love going and seeing her, and she listens to the podcast.
Oh my
and
God.
She is someone who like, she does not like horror movies. Like it's too much for her, which is why she's one of those people that's like, that's why I enjoy the podcast, because like, it's a fun, lighthearted way to like, I want to know what's going on in these horror movies that people talk about. And she was like, she said she was listening to the podcast the other day, and she's like, I do have to tell you something.
Oh dear.
I got really excited when I was listening to an episode because you brought up this movie that you said you'd watched, and it was actually a movie that I've seen, and I loved it. Like, I was obsessed with it as a kid.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, what movie? What movie? She was like, Devil, which is the elevator movie that I absolutely shit on.
Oh my God, wait. Yes, and we just talked about this on my stream yesterday. I kid you not.
Oh my God. Wait, what? Yesterday? Because why were you talking about yesterday?
I was looking at M. Night movies, and it's an M. Night movie.
Yes,
and
it is.
I was like, and someone said something about a movie where they were trapped in an elevator. I was like, oh, it looks like it's this one called Devil. And now I remember you telling me how much you
that's why it's in your head.
It. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, but I just thought that was funny that like the one time she's like, oh, a movie I've seen. I love that movie. And I was like, it was the stupidest, most boring movie I've ever seen in my life. Anyways. So formal apology. That's for, so for that. And then this week, all I've watched is, oh, when I was a kid, as we maybe have all gathered by now, I was a bit of a weird kid. Mm-hmm. And I, when I was like 9 years old, one of my favorite shows ever was A Haunting. And are you aware of this? It was like a TLC show or something. It was just on cable.
I don't know if I am.
So it was, it's one of those, it's probably one of the more OG versions of this type of show, but mm-hmm. One of those shows where like people come in and it's documentary, like talking head interviews with these people who have had paranormal experiences, but then there's Ooh. Also like actors dramatizing yes, the story.
Okay. Sure, sure.
Which I generally don't like, but whatever, I was nine.
Yeah.
And so I have like this nostalgic attachment to this show, and I found out that all like 10 seasons are on Tubi. So,
oh, wow.
The other night I put on the first episode and I was just like reminiscing, thinking mm-hmm. about how I was like so excitedly scared watching this show as a 9-year-old yeah. and it made me so happy. But it also made me think, like, I feel like people don't talk about paranormal experiences anymore. I feel like in the 2000s, mm-hmm. every type of person under the sun that there were so many instances yeah. of people like this like 50-year-old hard and tough man being like, I don't believe, I never believed in this kind of stuff, but this is what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what, this, we don't get this anymore.
That's
and
true.
And I'm wondering why, if it was all just manufactured and we don't manufacture it anymore, or if it's like people with social media like believing in the paranormal is harder, like why do we not have something right. on camera? Or it could be like a religious thing. I don't know, because you'd think like people who open themselves to paranormal experiences, a lot of them are like believe in, absolutely. You know, the afterlife when it comes to religion. And I feel like religion is becoming like less prominent over time. For I don't sure. know. It made me wonder all these things.
No, I feel really like matter, that's a really interesting conversation because I yeah. think you're entirely right. For me, one of the things that comes to mind is that YouTubers have taken over that area. And unfortunately, yeah. I think 90-something% of them are so phony that people are getting right. tired of it.
Yeah.
I used to watch some of that stuff and then it just started to get so like fake and over the top. And
I know,
like,
yeah.
so I stopped watching that kind of stuff. But like, I did, I love me some Ghost Hunters. I like that vibe more. So I don't know why. There's got to be a lot of reasons why it's not translating.
Yeah.
As we.
Yeah. I could see it being like forward. A credibility thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see like someone put together like a modern, maybe I'm just not aware of them. If you guys know any like modern paranormal documentary style shows mm-hmm. that have like happened in the last couple of years that have captivated your attention, I'm down to check them out. In the meantime, mm-hmm. I'll be going back and watching A Haunting. I've got Good. A lot to catch up on all 10 seasons.
No, that sounds kind of fun. I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah. Okay, so today I did try to go for a summer vibe this week.
Uh-huh.
And so I went with the movie Piranha from 1978. It's an American comedy horror film.
It is, okay.
And it's light on the comedy. It's like a horror first, mystery first, and then the comedy that we do get in the movie I actually thought was fun. I'm just going to tell you, I liked this movie a lot. Like, I thought it was actually a really good movie,
oh, cool.
which is not what I expected.
Okay, let's go.
So we love when that happens.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it came out 3 years after Jaws was released. Same summer that Jaws 2 was released. And so it was very much on the coattails of Jaws. Like, not totally ripoff vibes, but people saw the advertising for this and were like, they're trying to be Jaws.
Sure.
And there were so many like low budget B movies that were regurgitating the Jaws concept in their own way and trying to
yeah.
hit it big too, because Jaws was just so unbelievably massive.
Right.
To the point that Universal Studios wanted to obtain an injunction, which is basically legal jargon for it. They wanted to stop Piranha from being released.
Oh yeah. my God.
And I believe they'd done this successfully for many movies that were trying to like hop on the Jaws train with their own takes.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean,
yeah,
if you're doing a carbon copy, that's one thing, but like
yeah.
a Creature in the Ocean movie or whatever, I don't
yeah, you can't
know.
Copyright creature, you can't copyright sea creatures subgenre.
Yeah.
Like
that's weird.
Yeah. So, however, Steven Spielberg himself, Jaws director, mm-hmm. saw an advanced screening of Piranha and famously stated that it was, quote, the best of the Jaws ripoffs. And he's right. the one who told Universal to drop the lawsuit and let wow. it be released.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So with around a $650,000 budget, it brought in $16 million worldwide. Oof. Pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's now considered a cult film. Obviously, it became a franchise. How could it not?
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah. And it's directed by Joe Dante, who also notably directed Gremlins.
Oh, I've heard of that. Have not
yeah,
seen
Gremlins
it.
Yeah, Gremlins is, I don't know. Gremlins might be too big to be considered a cult, but it's like, don't feed them after midnight. And they're like these little fuzzy creatures.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's another one that people argue, is it a Christmas movie? Is it not? I
don't know. Love that.
Yeah. And then as far as the cast goes, we also have Heather Menzies, who played Louisa Von Trapp in The Sound of Music.
Wow. Okay.
So that's random.
Crossover.
And I was like looking through all the actors in this cast, and the cast overall is actually incredibly stacked. They all have like a million credits to their name and awards. Mm-hmm. And I do love to see that in a movie like this.
Sure.
So that's it. Let's get into Piranha.
I was gonna say, I know nothing about this movie, although my assumption was creature in the ocean. It sounds like I'm right on that. So
exactly. Yeah. If you're going in, just your assumption based off the title.
Yeah.
You're probably right where you need to be.
Perfect.
The movie starts off in what feels like the dead of night. And what better thing to do in the dead of night than go hiking? So
I could name a couple things, but sure.
So we've got a couple, Barbara and David, and they're trying to find a spot in this forest to set up camp for the night, but they got distracted when they come across this giant fence here in the middle of nowhere with a sign up that says, no trespassing.
Ooh, okay.
So David's like, yeah, we should check this out.
Well, yes.
Barbara's hesitant, but he jokes that some law breaking would do her some good anyway. And there's definitely like, there's no one around to catch us. So let's just go.
Okay.
So they fold the bottom of this fence in somehow and they climb under. And on the other side of the dirt beneath their feet, as they're walking, the dirt turns to concrete. And then they come upon this like giant industrial pool.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Barbara feels the water. Apparently it feels great. She wants them both to wash off so that their tent isn't all gross and stinky tonight when they sleep because they've been walking all day long. And so, of course, she whips her shirt off, boobs out. Mm-hmm. And now David is the hesitant one. He's like, what if this is some kind of like sewage plant
yeah.
or something?
That's kind of yeah. where I would go. Like, I'm not
Me
touching
too.
That water.
Who knows what's in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Barbara calls him an idiot and pushes him in.
Ooh.
But soon after, she jumps in as well, swims underwater before popping up next to him. And he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? You bit me. You actually oh. bit me.
Uh-oh. Yes.
And she rolls her eyes and is like, what do I look like? A creature from the Black Lagoon? And then I guess she isn't concerned at all about him saying that something did bite him.
Yeah, no, that's no big deal.
Because she's just like, come on, let's race to the other end. And they start to race, but he falls back pretty quickly because he stops and he's thrashing around a bit and he screams uh-huh. to her, something's in here.
Yeah.
The water around him turns red. He gets pulled under. Barbara swims back to him screaming his name like she's angry at him, thinking this is a prank for like getting back at her for pushing him
right,
in.
Right, for sure.
Where do you think all the red
yeah.
blood? Anyways. But no, she finds out pretty quickly that he's being serious because mm-hmm. now she's being attacked.
Nice.
And although she manages to make it to the pool's edge covered in blood, she ends up getting pulled under as well.
Wow.
And then the camera pans over to a dark shack here in the woods beside the pool. Its lights turn on inside and a man steps out right before the title card pops up, Piranha.
Okay, getting right into it.
And I love it.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I think that's so funny that they're like, let's go in the pool.
I know.
Let's not go in the pool.
Let's not. Like, I know it's been a long day and it would be nice if it was just regular water to have a little dip.
Yeah.
But it's just not worth the chance that it's filled with something disgusting.
That, yeah, combined with like it's on private property that you're trespassing. Like, there's just a lot here.
Right. There's a lot. Okay. So maybe you'll do well with a couple questions that we'll get into in the first survivability score, considering this opening scene.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. After our start of movie credit sequence, we cut to a woman named Maggie playing an arcade game called Jaws. Where she's where she's a shark trying to catch her prey with a little Joy-Con stick.
Cute.
And let me just say something about Maggie.
Okay.
One of my favorite fictional characters of all time.
Wow.
I love Maggie.
All right. I like her name. It sounds like she's a fun person. Just the name Maggie. Anyone like whose name Maggie, and like, you better be a fun person because you have
fun
Maggie.
And happy. Yes.
Yeah.
So when we pan out, we realize that she's in an airport and a man named Earl comes over to her with some paperwork for a Jeep rental that she'll need to pick up when she lands in Texas. And we realize over the course of their conversation that Earl is her boss and he has hired her as a skip tracer to go and find the teenagers that went missing on a hike out in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
Oh.
So is this your first time hearing skip tracer as well, or was it just me?
Yeah, no, I have no idea what that is.
Perfect. So this, by the way, is my first time hearing the word skip tracer.
Yes. I don't know.
So I did look it up, and it's just a really broad term that you can apply to someone who figures out someone else's whereabouts. So you can call a debt collector a skip tracer, a detective, a stalker, a skip tracer. It's like someone who finds people in any regard.
What a weird term.
I know. But this is Maggie's first big job outside of the city. Before this, she's had smaller jobs like finding people who write bad checks and like things like that.
Okay.
But this is a big change of pace, like missing teenagers in the woods in Texas. Okay. I don't know how we made the jump from one to the other.
Yeah, that like, I don't know. Like that doesn't seem like the same job description to me, but you do.
I don't know like where the local police are at in Texas.
Don't worry about them.
But okay. So cut to the Texan wilderness, we meet Jack and Paul. Jack is a man probably in his 60s or 70s, and he's just getting back from a long trek into town where he bought a lot of hard liquor for his friend, the alcoholic Paul, who is in his 40s, I would guess, maybe 30s, 40s. I'm talking like four bottles. So Paul thanks him for going into town for him, pays him for the drinks, and then he asks Jack why he decides to live out here instead of down in town. And Jack has like a really nice poetic answer about how he likes to be near the river because it cleans him, it feeds him, and it lulls him to sleep. Hmm. He has very much a lot of respect for the river.
Okay.
And then when he asks Paul the same question, Paul's like, what's it to you? It doesn't matter where I am. All I need is a tequila. You know, that's his vibe.
I'm feeling the energy.
Now cut to Maggie whipping through these dirt trails in her blue Jeep. And
you go, girl.
It's giving her some trouble. She's got to get out and pop the hood. Mm-mm. Seems like the engine might be overheating thanks to like this intense terrain. Maybe partly because of how she's driving, but we don't need to talk about that.
No, don't worry about it.
Back to Paul. He's frying up a fish on the stove when he hears a knock on his door and he yells out that it's open. Such a crazy concept to me.
It's
open. Come on. You don't know who's out there.
Whoever it is.
Just come in.
Jeez.
So Maggie comes barging in, and when she sees him, she's like, Paul Grogan? And he's confused.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't know how to respond to this. He just stares at her. And so she continues, Hi, I'm Maggie McCowan. I work for a skip tracing company. And he cuts her off because he's also never heard of that word before, just like us. So she explains more plainly, we find missing people. He goes, did my ex-wife send you? Which is...
Goddamn. Well...
Which is like equally hilarious and sad.
Yes, right.
Girlie's like, no. I'm looking for a pair of teenage kids. Some friends of theirs said that they might have gone backpacking up here. And Paul basically has the attitude of like, okay, I don't know anything. Why don't you talk to the police? Like, what am I supposed to do about this?
I would definitely talk to the police. I feel like that would be who we should be talking to.
Yes.
But, you know, the man in the shack in the woods could also be useful. You never know.
They need to be like, I think we need to appreciate the drunk man in the shack in the woods when it comes to just all legal cases.
For sure.
So she says that she already has talked to the police.
Oh, she did. Okay.
And that her theory is that the teenagers would have followed the river around here. So it's, I guess the vibe is the police don't care, which is wild, but okay.
Yeah, right.
She asks if there are any popular places to swim nearby, and he tells her that if they drowned in the river, they'd have ended up down at the dam. So she's starting like on the wrong end. He's like, you should start there and work your way up. Also, the energy like back and forth between them is extremely snappy, and it gets to the point where Paul goes, look, I didn't axe murder any teens. I can't help you. I haven't seen them. You know, she's also very much sussing him out.
Sure.
And although he literally goes outside to try and like eat his fish in peace, Maggie doesn't let up. Eventually, she gets it out of him that apparently there's an old army test site way up the mountain.
Oh.
But it closed down 5 or 6 years ago.
And now there's just a big scary fish living there.
Yeah. Maybe. And apparently a man in a shack by the pool.
Yeah.
Even though it closed down.
Okay.
So obviously Maggie's response to this information is, come on, let's go. And he's like, what? Like, what? I'm trying to eat my fish.
I'm not involved. Yes. Go away.
And she's like, you're taking me up there. And Paul's like, no, I'm not. And then immediately cut to him in the passenger seat of her Jeep telling her where to go.
Okay. You know what, girl? She gets shit done. What can we say?
Exactly. So yeah, he guides her to this test site. They come up on a different fence with a restricted sign, like a different entrance to this area. And Maggie uses a hammer to break off the chain lock, keeping it closed. And then Paul reluctantly follows in after her. He's, of course, drinking from his flask and, like, not really into this whole situation.
Yeah.
They come up on a little group of government facility buildings, and eventually they do make it out to the pool in the back. And when Maggie asks him if he knows what they were testing out here, he says that he's not sure. But, quote, I hiked up here once with my ex-wife. They had guard dogs out and the fence was electrified. The works, like whatever they were doing was intense. And as they're walking around the pool, Maggie finds a necklace with the initials BR engraved on it for Barbara Randolph. And she's looking at this pool confused because both of the teenager's parents told her that they were excellent swimmers. Like, this isn't like an intense area to drown.
Right.
And Paul's looking too, like, well, wouldn't they be floating up at the top by now? But she informs him that it does take a while for the body to bloat with gas, so they could still be, like, beneath these waters. I don't know.
What does the water look like? Is it just, like, dirty?
Yeah.
Like, dirty greenish or just dark dirty?
It doesn't – it's weird because it doesn't look like a well-kept pool, you know, where you can see the bottom.
Right.
But it also doesn't look like – disgusting. Okay. But it's murky enough to like not really be able to see very well.
Gotcha.
So looking around, she asks, do you think that there's a way to like pull the plug on this thing? So they make it into the shack nearby, and inside it's just like full-blown mad scientist laboratory vibes.
Oh, that's not scary.
Yeah. And there's creatures in fish tanks, and I couldn't tell you like what species they're supposed to be, like creatures I've never seen before.
Oh.
And there's also like a warm cup of coffee sitting at a desk. So someone's here and Paul's freaked out by everything that they're seeing. And he's like, yeah, that's enough. Can we go now?
Yeah.
But on their way out, Maggie notices a hiking backpack. And after looking through its contents, she confirms that it belonged to David. So David and Barbara were here. And according to this backpack, they never left. And she's more determined than ever now to drain that pool. So she finds the lever here in the shack.
Oh.
Turns it on to drain the pool. And that's when an old man pops out of nowhere and screams no, pushing her away from the lever. And this turns into like a two-on-one fight. And this guy's got like a wooden pick, like the kind that picks up garbage. I don't know what he's holding. But
okay.
I don't think it's for that. I don't know. And he starts like choking out Paul with it. But, you know, he's, like, so old that Maggie is able to knock this guy out and keep the drainage lever on. Like, it's not really too much of a fight.
Got you. Okay.
It is somewhat. But especially two-on-one, it's like, this guy is going down. So the old man is fine. He's conscious. So they leave him in there and head back outside, back to the pool. And Paul dips his hand into the water and realizes, well, he dips his hand into this pipe that's draining some of it at the side of the pool.
Yeah.
That's not where it's all being drained, but there's some of it's being drained out the side. So he feels it and he like smells the water and realizes that it's salt water, which is just weird. And Maggie asks where this water is actually draining to. And his best guess is like, oh, like probably the nearby river. So Once the pool, I know. That's bad.
That's not what you want.
So once the pool is completely drained, they see the skeleton of what they assume to be a dog at the bottom of it. But there's this giant vent for the drainage, and it has really big slots in it that are big enough where bones could have fallen through if they were torn up enough. So she's like, they could have died in here. Just because I don't see like their skeletons doesn't mean that they didn't die here. So no time to think about all this, though, because they hear their Jeep's engine rev to life. And we get a shot of like the shack guy, old guy, who's come to and stolen their car. But he's like super disoriented still. So maybe he like maybe makes it a quarter of a mile before completely like totaling the car. It crashes onto its side. He just like army crawls out of it before he passes out again. So
wow. I love that he just had to drive the car to crash it so that we can have a car.
You know what? It's not even that. It's not even – I don't know why this happened because the car doesn't really help us too much. Well, it could have helped us down the line for sure, but
– That's so funny though.
Yeah, it's so random. So Maggie and Paul run after him and Paul's like, damn, this guy is indestructible. Like, what the hell? And the two of them somehow manage to get him over to Paul's house where he wakes up like a little while later tied up in a bed with Maggie sitting next to him. And the first thing he says is razor teeth. And of course, Maggie is confused. Good morning. He continues, you drained the pool. You let them out. You don't know what you've done. Like, he's scared.
Yeah.
So he keeps rambling in a way that makes him seem crazy. But, you know, like, we know what movie we're watching and that we should be listening.
Absolutely.
And Maggie and Paul aren't really listening. They head out to the living room and just decide to have, like, a heart-to-heart about his failed marriage instead of listen to him. Yeah.
Good time for that.
Yeah. So Paul was with his wife for 10 years, and they have a daughter together, and her name is Susie. And apparently she stays with him, but right now she's gone at summer camp downstream on the other side of the dam. Anyways, this scene ends with Maggie and Paul sharing a blanket on the couch, and it's awkward, and she's like, oh my God, why are you so tense? And he tells her that he's like just not used to being around people. Okay. And she goes, well, that's obvious. I've been trying to hint my way under the covers for 5 minutes now.
Okay.
And then it like, I think we get a shot too of like his reaction to that. And then we get a shot of like outside the, a shot of the river outside with like a little pretty sunset. And then we hear him say, you really are something. And then it fades to black.
So
I know, which I should say the vibe doesn't surprise me. They've had like enemies to lovers banter vibes throughout the movie. But then also I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to take from this moment. Like if we're supposed to assume that they hooked up. I don't know. But we fade to black. And then we open back up in the morning where they're preparing to take this random man somewhere for help because he may have fractured his skull. No big deal. We probably should have tried to get him somewhere for help sooner, but that's probably fine.
No, that's funny. We wanted to just share the blanket in the other room first.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then we'll worry about now, like life-threatening injuries.
Exactly. Priorities. Mm-hmm. I do really like the Paul and Maggie duo because they're also very much like grumpy sunshine. Is that the book trope?
I don't know, but yeah, I know
sunshine
what you mean.
Energy. It's very cute. So anyways, they don't have a car anymore. So Paul suggests that they take this guy on a raft downstream to the dam because there's always a ranger posted at the dam.
Okay.
And they can like get help. That, I mean, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what your other option is.
Exactly. Right? There's really nothing else because even like his neighbor literally walked into town and walked back with
That's true.
The alcohol. So by raft, he's talking about a raft that he made himself with his daughter, probably 9 by 9 feet, completely constructed by logs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And that's going to go well.
I think so. And on top of that, they never tried it out because his daughter is actually afraid of the river. So this is going to be our first time testing the raft as well.
Oh, a test run with a patient. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
So really promising.
Good.
Now cut to Susie at her summer camp. She's probably 8 to 9 years old.
Okay.
She's sitting alone at the end of the pier, staring into the water, and a camp counselor, Laura, comes up to her and asks if she's still scared or if she's going to go for it and do her solo swim so that she can get her water badge. Mm. And Susie says she doesn't care about a water badge and she's not going to do it.
Okay.
She's like, absolutely not. Laura's really nice and tries to comfort her, promising that there's no such thing as sea monsters. Of course.
No.
And then the head of the camp comes over, Mr. Dumont, and he's not as, like, patient. He basically tells Susie that if she doesn't do it, she's going to cost her camp team a win, and then literally just points at her and screams, guts!
Oh.
So, yeah. What, big Olivia Rodrigo fan over here.
Yes, me too, honestly. Do you hear the new song? It's really good.
You know what? I haven't. I'm going to be listening to that album on stream.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
Yes. And I couldn't avoid the first one, but I'm actively trying to avoid the second one. I've heard good things, though.
Yes. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, thank you. Guts, yes. He's an inspiration. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's ready to jump in now.
Yeah, go for it.
But no, thank God we have Laura who tells her she doesn't have to, and then they just walk back down the pier together.
Okay.
Cut over to Jack, Paul's singular neighbor out here. Mm-hmm. He's sitting at the end of his own little personal dock fishing, and his dog Brandy is with him, listening to him like drunkenly tell him stories.
Oh, so sweet.
I know. But all of a sudden, Brandy becomes on edge and starts barking at the river.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, Jack's got his legs hanging down into the water.
Oh, Jack.
And the piranhas come up and start snacking away. His blood stains the river, and he screams, and this is our first survivability check-in.
Oh, wow. Poor guy. He was just, you know, hanging out with his dog. Poor dog. I had to see that.
I know.
Wait, so...
Also, wait, I should tell you now, like, the vibe with what we see of the piranhas, like, how they're portrayed. Ask.
Yes.
Okay. So... We never get like a clear shot. Like we get underwater shots of kind of like shadowy school of fish vibes in murky waters.
Sure. Okay.
And then we get a lot of POV shots like you are a piranha like going towards someone.
That was a good piranha that you just did with your hand there, by the way.
Yes, like- because they move like this. Join Patreon to see how they move.
You'll never know unless you join the Patreon and you see the piranha.
Yeah. But then they also like pair it with this really, they have a sound to represent these piranhas. Okay. And they kind of sound like, imagine if a giant group of flies was drowning and buzzing with like water in their lungs. Like that's kind of what it sounds like. Well, yeah. It's why not pleasant.
Just, why don't you just do it so I can get a better idea?
Okay. So it sounds like this, everyone.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh. Wow, that was scary, guys.
But imagine that and then overlay that sound like 50 times with each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't like it.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah. So it's effective. I like how they did it because I'm curious to see there's a remake, a 2010 remake of this movie. And I'm sure that they like probably went all out with trying to make you see these piranhas. And I'm curious about how they went about right. that. But like the way that it was balanced in this one, I think they knew what they were able to pull off and they yeah. did what like a good job with what they could do. And it, yeah, it probably would have looked ridiculous if they tried to do anything else.
Oh, I was also under the impression it was a singular piranha. And I'm now learning that yeah. there are multiple, which is
yeah, I don't know why
more fun. I don't
know. Why
I
think is it just, not called piranhas?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But I'm up to speed.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions for you every act, and every act today is going to have one deadly question in each one.
Ooh.
So this one, I have 7 questions for you. First, would you avoid going overnight hiking in the middle of the night with your significant other?
Probably. Unless I'm doing like a 24-hour spooky challenge, which...
Oh, yeah. If you're filming it, it's a different story.
Absolutely. Get the content.
Yeah.
Okay, I would say, would I avoid doing that? I would say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 84 on this question.
I went 94.
Okay.
Yes, because it's a different story. We when we talked about I had a question in Dolly. Like, would you go on a hike with your partner?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Like, if they really wanted to, of course. But if, like, my boyfriend really wanted to go on a hike overnight, I simply would say, I don't know. I'm not doing that.
A little bit
more. I'll go on a day hike. I don't fuck around with sleeping in a forest at night. No. Would you refuse to break into a no trespassing zone in the middle of a forest?
This one's a little trickier.
I agree.
Because, like, I've literally gone out into no trespassing zones.
Me too.
Fun. Like, whatever.
So sorry about it, but yes.
But it's true. And it just looks like a rant. Like, you can't really see. Like, it's not.
Yeah, there's just, like, more forest beyond. Just a fence with a sign.
I would be a little scared.
Mm.
I would definitely be a little scared. I'm going to say, I'm going to keep it just above and say 53.
Okay, I went 66.
Okay. Because, like, I would be curious.
I'm likely to refuse, but I'm a little curious.
Yeah. Exactly.
Would you refuse to swim in an industrial pool in the no trespassing zone?
1,000% yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say literally 99.
Because wow.
I don't know. You don't know what's in there. This is in a no trespassing zone. I would also assume, like, what if it's – there's, like, some kind of sewage thing. I'm not touching that water.
Mm. I went 75.
Do you think you could really go in that?
Well, I wouldn't be here. So, like,
well,
no.
Well, true.
But it's the part that gets me is there's a couple – two factors where I could be convinced is I'm, like, so disgusting and sweaty, which, again, the water could be more disgusting than I am.
Sure.
We don't know this. But I'm so disgusting and sweaty and desperate to, like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if this is just regular – like, let's just do a little dip. It would feel so good and be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone else went first and they're like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd probably go in too. I don't know if I'd be the first one to do it, but I definitely would be a follower in this situation. So that's why I went 75.
That's fair. I feel like I'm even like in regular settings, I'm also, like, often the one to not go in the water just because, like, I'm such a baby when it comes to, like, getting wet and being cold.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, I'm not good.
Yeah, I don't like going. I'll go in a pool very rarely, but I'll go in a lake and ocean, like, almost never. Well, I went in the ocean once because it's fun.
Yeah.
But a lake grosses, like,
Yeah, it's a little scarier.
Yeah. Would you refuse to work for a skip tracer company tracking down missing people?
Refuse? No. Likely to be there also? No.
Right.
You know? So I'm going to say, like, 93 on this one.
I went 68.
You really?
Yeah, I had a brief moment in time where I was like, oh, I might want to get into some sort of, like, detective type job.
Okay.
When I was younger. So I kept that in mind with this. Sure. I'm just way more of, like, a, what's, like, the word? I don't have a backbone. Like, I'm more of, like, a creative flower
than
tough. Let's find, like, I'm not a Maggie. She's like a badass. And
right.
That's not me.
Yeah.
So, no. But I could see a world where I would have tried.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Would you refuse to ever live out in a cabin in a desolate forest? He's got one neighbor in, like, a 10-mile radius.
No. I live around a lot of people, and sometimes I'm like, I need humans because it's very – I don't live in the middle of nowhere, but sometimes it feels like it.
Right.
I can't see a situation where I would ever move somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 96. I'm so high.
No, this is good. This is fine. I went 87.
Okay, so yeah, you're up there.
Yeah, because I, like, don't want to, but, like, if my whole family decided to up and move, I'd try to fight it and be like, guys, we can't be this far out in the middle of nowhere. Please, please, no. And then if I couldn't help it, I'd be like, okay, fine. I'm going to go live with my family in the middle of a forest now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah. Would you refuse to drain the pool during an investigation for missing teens?
No. If I'm there and I think they could be there, I think there's a very good chance I'm going to drain that.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't I? I'm going to say 9%.
Yeah. I went 5.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I like that this is like the premise is good. They're not idiots releasing piranhas
right
to a river. It's like anyone would do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then my last question.
Sure.
The deadly question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you refuse to hang out at the end of your own personal dock with your feet in the water?
Why would you do that? Why would you do that to me? No, I would do that every day.
I know.
Literally every day. Poor Jack. Oh my God. Imagine waking up in the morning with your like, well, I don't know. Do you drink coffee? No, you don't. Not really.
I do like a vanilla steamer.
Okay, so you get your vanilla steamer and yeah. you go with your book and you sit out yeah. on the dock.
With your dog.
Oh, with your dog. Oh.
Reading your book to your dog. Oh, I have God. Read I've read books to Karma before. And sometimes she's that. Locked in and I'm like, yeah. She's also a fan of like One Tree Hill. When One Tree Hill is on the screen, she likes to give it a watch. But I'm Game of Thrones, a little too much for her. She often leaves the room.
You know, me too. Me too. Yeah. Yikes.
I know.
I thought, damn it. I am so mad. Okay. 2%.
Yeah. I went zero. There's just yeah. zero chance I wouldn't. Of course yeah. I would. Yeah.
Why did you? Cassie just tore me to the ground. All right. Let me.
Listen, I just added that just now because your scores were too high.
Can you imagine? It's like, girl, these 90s getting ridiculous. All right, let me average. Oh, wow, that's rough because ooh. I was doing so well.
Yeah.
And now I am a 49.
Oh my gosh, I'm a 44.
Girl, yeah. you crushed us.
Those last couple questions.
Yeah, those get are you. Rough. 49. To be below 50% already is not a good sign. Mm. Gonna say mm-hmm. that right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Over to Paul and Maggie, they've managed to get this man who we learn is Dr. Robert Hoke onto the raft, and Paul is guiding it downstream with a big stick.
Okay.
As you do.
Good.
And at first, Dr. Hoke is keeping tight-lipped about everything to do with the facility that he was in, but when Maggie dips her hands in the water, he freaks out and like tells her not to do that. Mm. And finally, he does tell them that these waters are now filled to the brim with carnivorous piranhas, and they breed at the speed of light, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's good news. That's great news.
Yeah. Still, though, when they ask like why there were piranhas in the facility's pool, the doctor keeps his mouth shut.
Okay.
And then they're all distracted by the sounds of Brandy barking up ahead. So they wade on over to the pier and they follow a trail of blood up the dock and into the yard before finding Jack's dead body, his legs like completely missing up to the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he like bled out, like trying yeah. to get help.
Oh.
So yeah, now like the reality of these piranhas are setting in for the first time, and Paul takes the time to bury Jack on his own land because apparently he, quote, would have hated to be buried in town, like stupid freaking townies. I don't know what they think.
Yeah.
But cut back to the summer camp, Susie and Laura. Actually, no, this is – I remember I got mixed up. There's two different counselors. They're both amazing, which is probably why I mixed them up. Oh, like okay. nice counselor is yeah, like who right. they are in my head. But this is a different one. Her name's Betsy.
Okay.
And they are throwing darts at a picture of Mr. Dumont hung up in a tree trunk.
Nice.
And together they're trying to come up with a good excuse that Dumont would buy so that Susie doesn't have to participate in the river race tomorrow. Mm. Or actually, is it today? No, it's today now. It's today now. And Laura has the idea to grab a red marker and make what's supposed to look like scratches on Susie's knee.
Perfect.
But then they're going to like also bandage that up too. I think the ink is just supposed to bleed into the bandage. Like that's what they're trying to do.
Okay.
So then they bandage up her knee and Betsy just tells her to start limping around everywhere.
Perfect. So,
yeah. Now we unfortunately cut over to a father and son duo that are fishing together in a canoe on the river.
Oh, dear.
And I guess their canoe got caught on something because the dad is reaching down into the water trying to get them untangled. And yeah. I can imagine, like, you see where this is going.
I do.
All of a sudden, the dad screams out in pain, blood fills the water, and he's getting pulled down under. And during that, like as he's getting pulled, the canoe, of course, is capsizing and tips over. So the boy's probably like 11 years old, and the boy manages to like stay afloat and climb on top of it while it's capsizing. And so he's like balanced on top of now the capsized canoe.
Okay.
And he's traumatized and he's screaming for his dad. His dad's definitely dead. And nice. Hopefully the kid will be fine.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
So now it's time to cut back to Maggie. Dr. Hoke is opening up about his government facility. It was called Operation Razor Teeth. And originally, this piranha business was intended to destroy the river systems of the North Vietnamese. It was like defense or like war tactic or whatever. And the goal was to develop a strain of this killer fish that could survive in cold water and breed at an accelerated rate. And for some reason in my script, I'm reminding you that they're still on the raft, which I think is pretty obvious.
Yeah, I figured. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know why I wanted to clear that up here.
That's all right. That's all right.
But they're still on the raft.
Okay.
And well, actually, I do know why I put that here. I remember now.
Okay.
The fact that now they know that there are piranhas in these waters and they're still just because they got off at Jack's seeing him dead. And then they're like, anyways, let's just get back on the raft and keep heading down these piranha infested waters. That's a little odd.
Has the guy brought up the fact that his daughter is like at the camp?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Hasn't hit him yet.
Okay.
You know, he's probably still a little drunk.
No, probably.
I will say I'm poking at like the drunk aspect of his character because that's a lot of people do in this movie, but he's still very likable. He's coherent. He's not ridiculously over the top drunk. He just, you know, likes to have a flask on hand. Whatever. It's no big deal. So Dr. Hoke continues to explain, the war ended. After all that work, they poisoned the water. But we developed a lot of mutants, and a few of them were able to resist the poison. Oh. And then they ate their own, and then they began to breed. And then suddenly there were hundreds, maybe thousands.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we still
I guess they're just chilling in the pool. There's got to be a way to kill them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why don't we try a couple
Why don't we
methods?
Fill it with cement?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's options.
I think so. So it's not until now that Paul realizes all of this is really bad for his child at summer camp.
Oh, would you look at that?
It clicks.
There we go.
And he has the epiphany that every few days they let the water through the dam to keep the levels steady on the new lake downstream. Mm. So they have like a new sense of determination to hurry downstream to help warn people and get help. And they need to stop them from opening up the dam.
Oh, yeah.
And letting the water continue on.
Right.
So now up ahead, they see and they hear that little boy on the capsized canoe yelling for his dad.
Oh, yeah.
And his canoe is starting to now sink pretty rapidly. So he's going to be in the water now, too. And so Dr. Hoke, without a second's hesitation, dives off the raft and starts swimming out to him.
Okay.
And I wrote, if I'm being honest, I'm not really sure what his line of thinking is here, but it's supposed to be heroic. So let's call it heroic.
We'll call it heroic, even though we could just bring the raft over there.
Well, right.
But nah.
He swims out, of course, at the same time Maggie and Paul are trying to make it over on the raft as fast as possible.
Uh-huh.
And just as Dr. Hoke reaches the canoe, the piranhas start chomping away at him.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. And Maggie and Paul make it up behind him, and through the chomping, like Dr. Hoke grabs the kid up off the canoe, lifts him in the air, and transfers him over to the raft.
Oh.
So the kid's all good, but when Maggie and Paul pull the doc back up onto the raft, he's bitten up bad, and the light is like leaving his eyes.
Yeah.
Paul tries to ask him, how do we stop them? But right. Dr. Hoke's head like lolls to the side, and he just dies.
Oh, all right. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, he had all the information or any information that he could have gotten was through him. So,
So that's great. Now it's Maggie, Paul, a traumatized 11-year-old boy, and the doctor's dead body on this raft cruising down the river. Unfortunately, the blood from Dr. Hoke's body is seeping down through the wood, and the piranhas start chewing through the ropes holding all of these logs together to try and get to the body.
Yeah.
So Paul and Maggie realize this as one of the logs of their raft drifts away, and they quickly make the decision to push the doctor's body off into the water, despite the fact that like this poor boy is screaming at them not to. He screams at them like, don't do it. That's what happened to my dad. No, don't let it. Like, he's just like doesn't understand, and he is traumatized.
Of course.
The piranhas don't let up on attacking the raft at this point, though. And like even after pushing the body into the water, because I think there's like so much blood on the wood that they just are going for it anyways. And so they have to hurriedly lead the raft to the side of the river with their stick And by the time they do, they're like huddled together with three logs left. Like the logs keep falling away. And so they're like keep huddling closer. But they are able to all safely jump to the shore.
Okay.
And Paul's like, I have to run at this point. I have to run to the dam, make sure they don't release the water. And so off he goes, leaving Maggie and the boy, whose name we never learn, alone at this random forest spot.
Okay.
Yes. Now, the air horns are sounding off, which means they're going to lower the gates and spill the water over the dam any minute now.
Oh, no.
But Paul manages to make it just in time to warn the ranger not to open the dam. And surprisingly, he listens.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Usually that's like, who the fuck, who are you? Like,
yeah,
this is my job.
Right.
We immediately cut to a shot of several military vehicles driving through the forest.
Oh.
So it's time for Paul to fill them in. The heads of this military team that he's got to convince to believe him about these piranhas are Dr. Mengers and Colonel Waxman.
Okay, they probably would have information.
Like, they're military people. This was a military site. Like, they, they should know.
Yeah.
And when he tells them the whole story, like how five people have died at this point, Dr. Mengers is like, sounds like science fiction to me.
Oh.
Like, okay. Yeah. But... The military is going to run a very fancy test where they have a slab of animal meat on a rope and they're going to throw it in the river to see what happens.
Fancy test. Wow. Could happen.
Like, no one else could have done it this way.
No,
like, we needed the military for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they throw it in to see what happens. And after about 10 seconds, they pull the rope back and all that's left is the bone.
Mm.
So the colonel tells a nearby sergeant to inform the major to start the pumps. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
And Mengers says, we should be able to contain them to this area. Piranhas travel in schools, and we've brought heavy doses of retinone 235, some poison.
Oh.
And Paul's getting kind of pissed because he's like, pumps and retinone. You guys came so prepared. You must have known all along that these things were here or you wouldn't have brought all this stuff. Like, stop acting dumb.
Right.
So the colonel's like, listen, you and Maggie are the only two civilians who know about this project.
Oh.
So I guess they're forgetting about that little boy. I guess we don't care about that little boy.
Right.
We never see him again, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. And Dr. Mengers is like, what the colonel really means is that he'd like you to join us, become one of our team, as it were. And Paul and Maggie roll their eyes, but like they're like, okay, we don't seem to have a choice here. And basically what these military heads are doing is, we want you to stay close before you go and start telling people what's going on here. They're trying to keep it contained.
Right. Oh, boy.
So the four of them end up in a building with like a big local map on the wall. And Paul shows the colonel that even with the dam's gates locked, there's still another stream that breaks off and can lead to the main lake. So they need to take like this whole situation very seriously and not just assume that dumping some poison in this one spot is going to take care of all of these piranhas.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie takes Dr. Mengers aside, and Mengers is like, they're stupid fish. They won't find the stream that opens up to the lake. It's fine. Like, she doesn't think they have the brain cells to find that stream and get further down.
Why would
Yeah. Okay. And what does that have to do with intelligence of the fish?
Like
they
just swimming.
Keep swimming.
Exactly.
They're probably going to come upon it eventually.
Exactly.
And after Maggie presses her some more, Mengers slips up and references Dr. Hoke as Bob. So Maggie's like, oh, you know Bob. You knew him, this doctor. Mm. And she finds out that Mengers knew Bob really well, as in they were more than friends. And all of this, like, aloofness is Mengers just trying to pull off a cover-up for him. Like, she knew what he was doing, but she loves him and she doesn't want him to be in trouble. Or I think she even knows he's dead, but she doesn't even want, like, his name to be tarnished or anything.
Oh, okay. I don't know if now is the time for that. But
I know, like, it's a little late. It's a little late.
Sure.
We have consequences now.
Yeah.
So everything, like, all this military stuff is just, we don't want a headline. We don't want a headline.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul and Maggie are both told by the colonel and doctor that they'd better shut up about all this, or basically they'll be killed. Like, they do some pushback here, and then it's like, okay, well, we're not going to play nice. Hey, we're going to kill you if you say anything.
Okay.
So, of course, they're not allowed to go free just yet. They have to sleep in a tent with the military group tonight. Not with – they're in their own tent, but they're, like, at the military group site. Like, they're not allowed to leave.
Huh.
So that night in their tent, obviously both Maggie and Paul are like, we got to get out of here. But there's a military man stationed at their tent's entrance. So Paul's like, okay, we got to go distract him. Like, you go flirt with him. And Maggie goes, what if he's gay? Mm-hmm. And – Paul rolls his eyes and is like, well, then I'll distract him. Just go. So off she goes and she does her best to flirt with this man. This is how she does it.
Oh, dear.
She goes, hey, wow, nice night tonight, huh? And the man like stays stoic, like one of those guys that stand outside Buckingham Palace. Yep, like yep, he's yep. just like eyes ahead. And Maggie goes, listen, are you gay? And he goes, huh? And she was like, okay, anyway, I was reading this article in a magazine. And the guy's like, what? No, like, what did you just ask me before? Yeah, 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 talking about?
What?
And then Maggie jumps up and points at the sky and goes, look, up in the sky, it's Superman.
Oh, oh.
And then she flashes her boobs at him.
Oh, what? Where? How did we
get
here?
Are his eyes supposed to go? Superman or your boobs? I don't know.
Boobs, you know, just start throwing things out there and something's going to work. Wow.
Yeah. So this moment is when Paul jumps out at him from behind with a blanket over his head and he pulls him back into the tent. And from there, we just cut to Maggie and Paul driving off in a military truck that they've stolen. Somehow that all went well.
Okay.
So that's good for good. Them.
This is like not where I expected this movie to go. And like me either. The whole like military situation.
Yes.
Like it makes sense. It certainly does, but it was not what I was expecting.
I know. As soon as they can, they stop at a phone booth in the middle of the forest, of course, and call down to Mr. Dumont at the summer camp to warn him, like, don't let those kids in the water.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So he answers and Paul does his best to explain, but Dumont is like, oh, right, right. You're Susie's father, the drunk. Yeah, bye.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, it sucks.
Right.
So he just assumes this is all nonsense. And Paul and Maggie are like, great, we got to get ourselves down there. Like, we can't get through to him. So they continue their drive and a police car is hidden in the trees and sees them speeding by and follows after them.
Great.
So they pull over and they do their best to try to explain their situation to the officer. They're like completely honest. They're like, hey, we found this facility. There's piranhas in the water. They've drained to the lake. The military are not doing everything that they can. We need to get down to a summer camp to make sure these kids don't die. Like, they lay it all out.
Yeah, apparently.
But then the officer recognizes Paul as the local drunk. Yeah, it's really annoying. It's really annoying.
Yeah, that is so annoying.
So they get taken into the station.
Oh my God. Okay.
I know.
It's just not going well.
And this officer gives the colonel a call, who of course is like, ah, yes, you'd better hold them there while we deal with the situation out here. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
And then we see the colonel make a secretive phone call to a guy at the head of a construction crew building a resort along the river that's supposed to have its grand opening tomorrow. And this investment that the colonel has in the resort is hush-hush.
Oh my God.
But of course, it's also why he really wants these piranhas to be hush-hush.
Right. Oh,
capitalism.
Yeah, clearly, like, nobody cares about the important things right now.
No.
That's not at the top of anyone's mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Back at the police station, Maggie and Paul are in two separate jail cells. And obviously, Maggie has a plan. Maggie always has a plan.
Good.
She's always undeterred. So she kicks out the pipes of the sink and then turns on the water so that water gushes out of the pipes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Then she turns the faucet back off, takes the toilet lid off the toilet, throws it down as hard as she can, shattering it.
Uh-huh. I do out not in, know where this is I know, going.
I know. It's wild.
Okay.
I would never come to this conclude, like this, I have this idea.
No.
Out in the office, an officer hears that, like the crash of the porcelain, and starts heading their way. But before he makes it over, Maggie grabs like a piece of the porcelain lid and wraps it up in a little blanket or like shawl, I don't know, some sort of cloth that she has in there. And so when this officer comes over and sees the mess inside, he's obviously like, what the hell? Maggie bats her eyelashes up at him and is like, I don't know what happened. A pipe burst and I'm just not strong enough to fix it. So I love it.
Yes.
So the officer comes inside the cell to inspect the faucet and she takes her chance to whack him over the head with the piece of porcelain.
Nice.
Knocking him out. And then all she needs is his ring of keys because she needs to let Paul out as well, which unfortunately, for whatever reason, it's just a little comedy bit. It's funny. They're chained to his pants. So she has to like take his entire pants off and then runs the pants with the keys attached over to Paul's jail cell to set him free. And then off they escape, heading toward the summer camp. Oh. And this is our second survivability check-in.
Wow. This has gone so many places that it wasn't ready for. It's like they're here, then they're here, then they were wow. Okay. Yes. Well, damn.
I will say this movie, it's hard to do. I don't know if you guys know this, but I hate a little movie called Night Swim.
What?
And I think it's really hard to make horror movies with water as its main focus, like, because, hey, just stay out of the water. Like, it's so avoidable. Yeah. But yeah. I think that this movie does a really great job of, like, directing a narrative where we need to be near the danger.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I appreciate that.
I was thinking about that with the daughter. The daughter is really driving a lot of the motivation right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Act two, we have 9 questions.
Oh, boy.
First, would you choose not to take a raft down piranha-infested waters? It will get you to where you need to go faster. We don't have a car.
Yeah. Ooh. I could see myself being kind of split on this, honestly. Because, it is not a great idea.
Yep.
But it will be faster. Okay. I'm going to say that I more than likely would. So what side does that put me on? The lower?
You would. Yeah, lower.
Lower? All right. I'll say 40%.
I went 96.
Really?
I didn't think. I'd be running. I'll run as fast as the wind. Also, the fact that they just came upon like a random phone booth in the middle of the woods. I can run like to a phone booth somewhere.
Yeah.
No, I think I would run. I don't think I would get in the waters. If I had a boat, maybe. Mm-hmm. But their raft, absolutely not. I would not get on that raft.
Fair enough.
Okay. Would you choose not to go out fishing on a river with a family member? These are people that don't know about the piranha situation.
Right. So truthfully, I would not go fishing, but I would go out in a canoe. So I'll go that route.
Someone else is fishing. You're reading a book on the canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I love going out in a canoe or a kayak. It's really fun. So I'm going to say 8%.
Yeah, I went 20.
Yeah.
My family has a house on a lake that is a summer destination. Mm-hmm. And I stay in the house. I don't go on the lake.
Okay.
I like to go down to it sometimes on the shore. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was more screwed with the pier situation. But
sure.
I don't really need to go out on a boat.
Okay.
But I'm not afraid of it and I don't hate it either. So
right.
I might.
You might.
You know?
Yeah.
How likely are you to fall off a capsized canoe when waiting for help after your father dies?
Probably very likely.
Right. And it's crazy to me how he stayed on it the whole time as it was capsizing. I was like, wow, this is dexterity. I don't have this.
Yeah, because it would start being kind of wobbly and then you would end up just the momentum would pull you, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I would say it's fairly unlikely. I'm going to say 14 on this one.
Yeah, I went 29 because if I'm on it, I can balance. But it's the matter of when it actually capsizes, am I going to be able to stay on it? And
right.
Before I get taken down under.
Exactly.
Do you – this one is the deadly question of the act.
Oh, dear.
Do you refuse to jump into piranha-infested waters to reach a stranded kid faster?
100%. Not literally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think that was necessary.
Yeah.
I feel like the amount of time, correct me if I'm wrong, it just seems like it wasn't that much faster than just staying on the raft.
Yeah, right? I agree. We could have reached over and pulled him on.
Yeah.
And we didn't, we reached over and pulled him on by the time we got, he didn't, yes, it was, it
really
felt pointless.
No. Ooh, I'm gonna, maybe this is bad. I'm gonna say 98%.
So did I.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
There's just
kid,
no
but
point.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Would you push the doctor's dead body into the water for the piranhas to feast on?
Yeah. I think it's sad, mm-hmm. but if you don't, you're all going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he just saved this kid's life and keeping his dead body on here. Then you're all dead for nothing.
You're just negating what he did.
So would I push it in? 99.
I went 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. why not?
Can you run to the park ranger in time before they open the dam?
these days, I don't know.
I know.
Adrenaline, I think, would, like, how long is this run? Do you know?
It's hard to say. And it's hard to say because there's feels like it's like movie magic. Mm-hmm. He reaches them right before he's turning the lever to unleash the water. So I kind of went, but I'll tell you, I gave myself an 85 because I was like, okay, if he can do it, I think I would be able in that moment to give it my all. And I think my all could also do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I'm going to go 82.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, in the same ballpark there.
Could you escape the military camp?
This is such an interesting thing because initially I was like, why are they even bothering? And then I remembered, well, I guess because the daughter.
Yes.
Because, like, I'm not going to lie, I would be one to, like, trust the military in this situation.
You would assume they have resources that are beyond what you could imagine that should be helpful.
That's what I would, like.
I would judge them wanting to keep it hush-hush, but, like, whatever.
Right, exactly. I don't even know if I would try to escape. I don't think I could. Let me just put it that way. I'm going to say 13.
Wow. Yeah. I went 70.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's two of us and literally all that they did, it seems to be like there's only one guard outside their tent. There's like no one else around nearby. And there's two of them. So like he literally all he did was pull a bag over him and did, I don't know what he did to him in that tent. But they were able to walk because they caught him off guard and put a bag over his head. I'm like, I feel like I can do that. If with a part, if I'm by myself, nah, I'd be too nervous to even try. Yeah. But with someone else, I feel like we could do it. So, yeah, 70.
Yeah, I'm also, I think I'm just going to like count also the fact that I'm not sure I would try. So that's for part of my
routine. Definitely would. With like the child situation because I'm like, they need to be warned.
Of course, yeah.
Could you convince the officer that pulls you over to believe your story?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like he's, you know, judging the drunk. I'm kind of more putting myself in Maggie's shoes, I think, here.
Yeah.
And if he sees the drunk and is like, that's what he's going to go by, that's what he's going to go by. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it does sound insane.
Yes.
So I think I would be very unlikely. And I'm going to give myself a 19%.
Okay. I went 33.
Okay.
Like, I think I've got a third chance. I feel like I'm good at talking to people and, like, getting through to people and making them hear me and, you know, I feel like I do that. But then you have to factor in, like, how crazy the story is. And you have to factor in that I'm with someone who's known as the local drunk.
Exactly.
And then finally, could you escape your own jail cell?
No.
No.
Like, I couldn't even escape the damn tent. You want me to escape the jail cell? Like,
yeah.
I'm literally going to say 4%.
Yeah, I went 8.
Because I don't think I'd come up with that. It wasn't even like anything super genius, but
It's something that just takes guts that I don't have. Guts! You know.
Guts! Absolutely. All right. I did go up. Yes. Not much.
Oh.
I went from 49 last act to 52.
Wow.
This time.
I went from a 44 in act one to a 71 in act two.
Wow.
And I think the reason is in the first act, we don't know what's going on yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the second act, now we know. So your decisions are more informed.
Absolutely. That's so true.
Okay. We cut away to that grand resort opening on the lake. And everything is going great. Big turnout. Obviously, a lot of fun water activities.
Sure.
The resort is further downstream, closer to the ocean than the camp is.
Okay.
Over at the camp, it's time for the water races, starting with a tube race.
Ooh.
And little Susie tries to show Mr. Dumont how, like, she can't do it because she hurt her knee. Mm-hmm. But he, like, does not give a shit. And he tells her to get in the water anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So when he's not looking, she goes and she runs and hides under a canoe stored on land.
Yeah, fair.
And she just stays there.
Mm-hmm.
So the water races start. Also, this guy's so weird. He's like the head of Mr. Dumont. For the water races, he's like so intense and he has a gun that he shoots into the air.
Yeah.
Are those like real guns or is there like blanks that make a noise? Blanks.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Because we had those at like my high school cross country meets.
Oh, yeah. They are still used. I was at my brother's track meet recently. They still use those.
Yeah.
I wonder when that started though, because I was like, is that a real gun? I couldn't tell, but I was like, I think those were still in the 80s. They're 78 if it was still like just blanks.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how those work.
Meanwhile, as the water races start the summer camp, Paul and Maggie are speeding down the road in a stolen police car now to get there.
Oh, God.
But they're not in time before the piranhas reach the summer camp shore, and they start chomping down on all of these children.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I did not think that was going to happen.
Yeah. There's a lot of confusion at first. Oh, Mr. Dumont's like in the water, but right up against the dock when he sees some of the kids start screaming and thrashing around. And he's trying to like understand what's happening when a piranha jumps up out of the water and bites him in the face. and then it just falls right back into the water. It doesn't like latch on or anything. But so we get a big sequence of these kids like just floundering around, getting bitten up, and Mr. Dumont is trying his best to grab as many kids as possible and get them to the shore.
Yeah.
And then the counselors, Laura and Betsy, are stranded on their tubes along with some of the other kids, and they're just thrashing around too, like scared, trying to be like out of the water as much as possible. So little Susie up on land sees something bad is happening.
Yeah.
And she's probably thinking, like, damn it, it's those sea monsters that I knew they existed.
Yeah, right.
And she's so brave. She tries her best to pull the canoe down to the water, but, like, her little arms aren't strong enough to do that.
Oh.
Instead, she grabs a blow-up raft and runs down and gets inside the raft with a paddle and, like, goes out onto the lake in this raft. She doesn't give a shit about these kids, though. She's heading straight for the counselors. Because she wants to save them.
Oh.
Because she loves them. She's bonded with them.
Yeah, that's crazy that like the thing that she feared the most comes true and then she jumps in the water.
Yes.
Crazy.
I know, but I love
if that's me.
I know. I love it for her. She's so cute. Yeah, she goes and she's able to save Laura, getting her up into the raft. But unfortunately, it's too late for Betsy. She gets dragged under by the piranhas. Aww. And we get an RIP for Betsy.
So sad.
Yeah. Now, finally, Paul and Maggie roll up in the police car. And right away, Paul heads down to the water, but instructs Maggie to go inside and call down to the resort. He knows that it's opening day for that resort downstream and that they need to be warned too. So
yes.
Buck is the guy in charge of the resort festivities. So Buck answers the phone and Maggie's like, all right, listen, this isn't a prank call. This is serious. And she tells him about the piranhas.
Right.
And he's like, okay, that's nice. Thank you. And he hangs up.
Okay. Everyone's just hanging up on us.
Yeah. So back at the camp, they've gotten all of the kids out of the water. There was only one death, I think, as far as the children go.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Dumont did survive, and then, of course, Betsy did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think because it makes sense to me because, like, there's so much to chomp on that it's more spread out rather than all focused on one person.
Right, okay.
But RIP to that random kid. What the hell?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And Paul and Maggie are like, we got to go warn the resort ourselves, obviously. Like, we got to do everything around here. So they head off in the car after Paul tells Susie to stay with Laura and be brave. So, of course, over at the resort, there are a lot of water activities going on, and the colonel and the doctor end up beating Maggie and Paul to the scene where they warn Buck that Maggie and Paul have escaped from jail, and he's probably going to want to start calling all of his newspaper connections to let them know that they may start receiving prank calls about a crazy piranha scheme.
What?
Yeah. So they
wait,
also...
But people are going to go in the water and get attacked, and then...
Yes,
you know what
they.
I mean?
The problem is they believe that it's taken care of with the poison that they put in the water.
Oh, okay.
So they're just trying not to make this a big thing.
Gotcha.
They don't think anything's going to happen. They also seem to want Buck to give a speech quickly to the crowd before Maggie and Paul like undoubtedly arrive, probably to get ahead and start like spinning their own story. But like they don't really go into specifics with this plan and we never see him give a speech. So I don't really know. It doesn't really matter. They're just like, they're out. Be careful.
Yeah.
We also get a sequence here showing a guy that's water skiing, like speeding past a dead body, and he starts yelling up to the girls driving the boat, like insanely, I might add. Yeah. They're like purposefully trying to get him to fall off, which is like what you do as a friend when you're water skiing. But it's like they're doing too much. It's like it's so dangerous the way they're driving this boat.
Yikes.
So they do notice that he's yelling up to them, but they can't tell what he's saying and like trying to get them to do. So they slow down and then he screams at them not to do that either because he doesn't want to be stuck in the water. Anyways, the whole situation winds up ending in a boat collision and explosion. So RIP to who knows how many people there. I couldn't tell who all died there, but there's definitely deaths happening there.
Okay. Wow. That's great.
You got to have a boat explosion.
True.
In a water movie, you know.
It is important.
And then, of course, it's only a matter of time before the piranhas make it to the dozens, maybe 100 resort guests in the water. Oh. And mass hysteria ensues.
Okay.
Buck is on the phone with a journalist trying to convince him that whatever he's heard isn't true when one of his employees runs up to him. And Buck is like, what? I'm on the phone. What are you bothering me for? And the employee goes, the piranhas. And Buck's like, hey, I told you not to say that word. And then the employee goes, I'm sorry, but they're eating the guests.
Just thought you'd want to know about that.
Yeah. So Buck gets back on the phone. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to call you back. Maggie and Paul end up showing up and rushing to the shore by the time maybe half of the people are out of the water and people are running off and a couple people are dead already on the shore. And when the colonel is trying to pull people out of the water and onto the dock, he ends up getting pulled in and the piranhas eat him up, RIP to the colonel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
I know. you should have listened to us.
Yeah, right?
You could have prevented this.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Maggie run down the dock and steal a speedboat, which Paul drives out to a local smelting plant that he knows is nearby with hopes that they can dump the barrels of industrial waste there into the waters, claiming that this waste could kill anything.
Oh, okay.
Again, I wonder why we didn't kill the piranhas.
Exactly.
You know, actually, I think at one point, Dr. Mengers was talking about how the doctor at the plant in the shack at the beginning, he was like a mad scientist and he was like addicted to seeing what he could do with these piranhas. Mm. He didn't want to hurt anyone, but he wanted to do his science thing.
Sure. Yeah, so. Makes sense.
So they make it down to this plant, but it's flooded. The control room is completely flooded. Like, but he's got to get into it because that's where like the wheel is that he needs to turn to release the industrial waste into the water.
Okay.
So he has Maggie tie a rope around his waist and attach the other end to the boat. And then he instructs her to count down to 100 and then kick the boat into high gear after 100 seconds to get him out of here because that's apparently as long as he can breathe, like underwater. So what he's going to do is he's going to jump in, swim into the control room, turn the wheel, release the waste, and then after 100 seconds, hope that that's done and it's all good, and she's going to drive the boat off and get him out of here.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I wouldn't be doing that.
I know.
Tell you that right now. I was in my parents' pool really quick last week, and my dad like had dropped some plastic pieces, and they went down to the bottom, and I didn't want to not help him, so I did. But like every time I go underwater, like I have a mini panic attack because I get very claustrophobic. Oh. Like I just like that feeling of like not being able to breathe. I do have to plug my nose and all that. So it's like I just feel like I hate the feeling of going underwater, and it immediately will make my ears hurt and give me a headache. So
The pressure gets to you so fast. I don't know, like people who go as deep as they do.
So scary.
Okay, so he jumps into the lake and swims into the control room where he finds the wheel. Obviously, it's really hard to turn. It hasn't been turned in a long while, and it's hard, like we're underwater.
Right.
And as he's trying to turn this wheel, the piranhas join him, and they start tearing him apart. But he doesn't give up on the wheel through this.
Oh.
And with like a classic 5 seconds left, you know, she's counting down from 100. It like comes down to the wire and he successfully releases the industrial waste and Maggie drives off, pulling him away from the swarm of piranhas.
Oh.
Yeah. So we cut over to the resort then, where I would guess there's at least like 20 to 30 dead bodies draped in towels on the shore.
Oh my God. Yikes.
And Maggie has made it back and Paul is in a chair waiting to be attended to by one of the many medics doing their rounds with a lot of injured people. Susie's there now and she's crying, like looking at her dad all cut up and covered in blood. And they try to get him to drink some water, but he's just like not responsive at all.
Right.
But he's alive.
Yikes.
And there are also plenty of news reporters at the scene now reporting the incident. And one of them is interviewing Dr. Mengers. And Mengers is like, I'm personally going to head a full-scale investigation into this incident to discover who is responsible and make us certain that nothing like this could possibly happen again.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
The reporter asks her that although most of the piranhas have hopefully been dealt with now, what's the possibility of any survival and how likely is it that a piranha reaches the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, none at all. They've all been killed by pollution at the end of the lake. And if any of them did get through, there's no way for them to survive the salt water. There's nothing left to fear. And she smiles into the camera before our last shot shows footage of the ocean. And the screen like slowly turns a red hue as we hear the sound of the piranhas like buzz in your ear. And that's the end. That's it.
That's a horrible ending.
I know.
Well, there they go. Okay. Yeah.
The piranhas probably aren't all dead. Nope. Paul is on the brink of death and traumatized. True. Susie is definitely traumatized for life.
Yeah. Wow.
Maggie did successfully figure out, you know, what she did her job. She figured out what happened. So that's good.
I'm just feeling a little sad for everybody right now. That was,
I know,
not very optimistic.
No.
Wow.
All right. Act three. I have five questions for you.
Okay.
I just had to ask this question because it's just more prevalent than ever in this act, even though maybe it's been implied before.
Okay.
Is it unlikely for you to undergo any water activities in a lake?
No.
Yeah. Because you're a canoe girl.
I do like a kayak. No, I'll go in.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Even though it's not my favorite thing. So I'm going to go 16.
Okay, yeah, I went 10.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it, but I don't hate it. Mm-hmm. If my friends and family are doing it, okay, I'll do something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
How likely are you to quickly escape to shore if piranhas attack you in the water? I have to ask this question because most of the piranha attacks are like people swimming at a shore, which is different from what we've seen the rest of the movie.
Right.
I feel like you're more likely to be able to get away here, like if something, but also because you can just like swim, you're right at the shore. You can swim to shore and get out.
Right.
You're not like in the middle of the water stranded on a capsized boat. And that you're in a crowd. So it's like not a targeted attack. So that's what I'm asking is like, if you're in a crowd of people and people are getting bitten up, you start getting bitten up. How likely do you think it is that you're able to get to shore and not be one of the 30 people that die?
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm not the greatest swimmer. Never have been, mm-hmm. never would be. I related to Susie a lot throughout this, mm-hmm. because I went to summer camp and I refused to do the test. Aww. To see if you go in the deep end because it just scared me so bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I relate to you, girly.
Yeah.
But I still think it'd be fairly, I'm going to go like 54, honestly.
Oh, okay. I went 42.
Okay.
So, I mean, same ballpark still.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know. It's one of those like panic. I'm not a great swimmer either.
Yeah. Depends on like.
It depends on so many different things.
How close I am to the shore as well.
If I'm standing like, with like it up to my thighs, I'm probably fine. Yeah. But if I'm pretty far out.
Exactly. If my feet are mm-hmm. touching the ground at all, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
But if I'm like fairly deep.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, that's a hard one to answer, but I was like, I can't not ask this.
Yeah.
Would you refuse to jump into the water to swim to a flooded smelting plant control room? Would you refuse to do that?
And this is like mostly underwater, you said, right?
All. Completely. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely not. Because I have to plug my nose. So me too, like, I don't even got two hands, man.
Yeah.
I'm literally going to say 99.
Yeah, I went 95.
Yeah, I'm just
doing
like,
that.
It's not, even if I did, like, I would not be of any use.
Right.
I can't do it.
Okay. The next question I ask is interesting.
Oh, dear.
I don't know how you want to answer this, but I did a test last night.
You did to answer a this. Test? Oh, yeah. Don't hold your breath.
Can you hold your breath for 100 seconds through a piranha attack? So I just did a test to see how long I can hold my breath.
It's probably not 100 seconds.
No, I hit 60.
Yeah, I don't think I could even hit the 100.
I really was struggling at 50, but I was like, I'm so close to a minute, and I forced myself to like get lightheaded to get to that minute.
Yeah, no. Especially like you add on that, like the piranhas, and like I'm going to end up inhaling water. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. So like two.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
Because like I'm struggling. I could just get to 60. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I'm getting attacked by piranhas?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I don't think so. It's not happening.
Oh, by the way, that was a deadly question.
That one?
Yeah. What we just answered. That's so sorry about it.
Thank you so much.
And then finally, could you successfully unravel the wheel and release the industrial waste?
No.
Yeah.
Underwater being attacked by, like, based on my previous answer. I'm going to go lower 1% because now you're adding the wheel.
Oh, interesting. I said 11. I went higher because I was like, I'm like actively drowning. But at this point, I'm doing everything I can to turn the wheel. Mm-hmm. So I'm like in pain. I'm drowning. I'm inhaling water.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm going to just keep going. I'm just keep going. So yeah, that's that.
That's a great act. That's going to go over really well for us right now.
I know.
Okay. So my third act score is a 25.
Mine's a 23.
Yikes.
Which makes my final score an overall 43%.
Ooh, mine's which not going to be that good.
I think feels perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's 50-50 because it's piranhas and water that you can avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's all these factors that bring it just lower than just that.
Because you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. My overall score is a 38%. So,
okay,
very close.
I think that's going to give us a 41. I'm guessing that based off vibes. 41.
41. Okay, then that does feel pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yikes. Dead.
I will say this is a fun, like I would enjoy this movie. I could see it being a, like a comfort watch. In a way that Wrong Turn, the first Wrong Turn is also for some reason a bit of a comfort watch.
Sure.
Just the vibes. I love Maggie. The kid is so cute. It's water. It's summer camp. It's fun.
Yeah.
Until people die. So a little bit of romance. I'm like still confused about the fade to black because the whole rest of the movie, like there's no like romance element.
Yo, yeah, that is so random.
I know.
Wow. Huh.
In my head, he's going to get, actually, I wonder if he gets better if they're in the sequel. I have no idea.
Oh, true.
And they end up together or something. Or if it's like a whole new cast, but it's just the piranhas are back.
Yeah. That's common with these kinds of franchises, I feel like. So yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. That is linked in the description of this episode. Also linked below are the other places you can find us, including our Patreon for video episodes and bonus content, as well as our Discord, where we have an interactive worksheet that you can fill out to let us know, would you survive?